Our text for this morning's meditation is from Proverbs chapter 8, these words, "For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, the question for this morning for us is the value of wisdom. Wisdom. So let's begin with the question of what wisdom actually is. What is wisdom? Here's a nice, if extensive, definition of wisdom. Wisdom is the ability to act and to think using knowledge and experience and understanding, common sense, and insight. I'll repeat that. Wisdom is the ability to think and to act. To think and to act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Now, taking a look at that definition of wisdom more closely, we would all agree, I would think, that first of all, experience is a good thing. We'd agree with that. We'd all say that experience is a good thing. It's a good thing to use to make a decision about something, a wise decision. What has happened in the past when faced with a similar situation? That's the question we ask when we use experience to try to help us make a decision, a good decision, a wise decision in the here and now. So, experience. But what about understanding? Well, understanding we like as well, don't we? That is, once we've learned to do a certain thing, we somewhat understand it, don't we? We understand it. And we can then function with that understanding. We can be overwhelmed at a new job, for example, until we begin to understand what it is we actually are doing at that job. And once we do, we can then make decisions, wise decisions, at that job on the basis of our understanding of it. Insight. Well, insight may come from our experience and understanding, right? We've all lived that in one way or another. That is, we have at one point or another come up with an idea. We've had an insight based on our experience and our understanding. For clarity's sake, let's hear the definition of wisdom again. Wisdom is the ability to think and act using knowledge, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Common sense? Well, we can argue about that, I think, about common sense. You know, it could be suggested that the older we get, the more we realize that common sense is really not that common. So, recapping. When it comes to wisdom, we have no problem with it, with wisdom. Flowing from, that is wisdom, we have no problem with wisdom flowing from experience and the understanding gained from experience and from that understanding and experience insight. And we might even tip our hats to the usage of any common sense that we might possess. Problematic when it comes to wisdom, a challenge for us when it comes to gaining wisdom is simply one thing, and that one thing is knowledge. Yes, knowledge. We touched on this last week, didn't we, when we talked about love without knowledge being a dangerous thing? Well, the same can be said about wisdom based solely upon experience and understanding, common sense and insight. Yes, we like these four specific aspects of wisdom. That is, again, experience, understanding, common sense, and insight. Because, well, these four aspects of wisdom happen to us. They just happen to us from day to day, from moment to moment, without any effort on our part. And as we get older and older, experiencing more and understanding more, we should, in fact, be growing in wisdom. But so often, we simply don't. In fact, experience and understanding we've learned can wreak havoc on our lives, especially if the wrong thing is, that is, the sinful thing is experienced and a horrible thing suddenly is understood. We could suggest here that so much pain and suffering and loneliness and despair and even anger and frustration are a result of experiences and understandings, bad experiences, sinful experiences, resulting in terrible understandings, which lead then to cynicism and detachment and utter sadness. What's missing then, of course, is knowledge that informs our experience, our understanding, knowledge that transforms our insights into sense that is better than just common sense. Our text is from the book of Proverbs. Here's that text again. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. Now, it's from the book in the Old Testament, Proverbs, which would convince us that the best way to live in this life is with a knowledge, with a divine knowledge, with a knowledge of the law of God. And when we deviate from that God-given knowledge, that divine knowledge, when we would have our experience, our understanding, our insight informed by the world, regulated by some worldly philosophy or religious principle, or simply allowed to inform us willy-nilly, causing us to think one thing one moment and another thing another moment, the end result is pain and suffering. Their end is destruction. Their end is destruction, is what we heard in the epistle reading. Their end is destruction. Their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame with minds set on earthly things. That is, minds set on earthly philosophies, minds set on earthly religious principles and other things. That is what can happen when our experience, our understanding, our insight is gained apart from the divine knowledge of God. That's what can happen, and that's what so often does happen. If it feels good, do it. That's what results. Or, I do it my way. Or, live like you were dying. Or, this is my truth, my reality, my worldview. Now, if we individually take such ideas to be wisdom, true wisdom, then ultimately the words of the prophet Isaiah are for us. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. That is, people who have embraced a wisdom without knowledge, without the divine knowledge of the very law of God. Of course, in Jesus, we have an example, don't we? An example of true wisdom, of the one, the only one who lived his life according to divine knowledge, according to the law of God as he experienced life. And as he came to understand life, and he gained insight from life, that is of one who lived a life of wisdom, true wisdom. So the answer of Jesus today in the gospel reading to those seeking to entrap him in a revolutionary, rebellious ideology, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Now, how could Jesus do that? How could Jesus give that answer, that response? How could he do it? His knowledge of the fourth commandment, his knowledge of the second and the first commandment, his experience in the world, his understanding of man, his insight that the men there were trying to trap him. It is in Christ, then, that we find true wisdom, and it is his Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ, who would impart to us that true wisdom by creating a yearning within us to live a life according to divine knowledge. Divine knowledge. That is, according to the law of God. How is it that we could receive the Spirit of Christ? Well, this Spirit, this Holy Spirit, is sent to us through the Holy Word of God. And it is that Spirit that first creates within us faith in Jesus. What is faith? Well, faith is like that spiritual internet connection creating the connection between ourselves and our Savior. And when that exists, when faith exists, a download occurs. And that download, a spiritual download, brings to us all that Jesus Christ is. And conversely takes from us, it uploads all that we are. Luther, back in the 16th century, called this the joyous exchange. We could call it nowadays a spiritual connectivity. It's a spiritual connectivity in which, through faith in Christ, the righteousness of Christ flows down to us, and our sin, our lack of desire to pursue a life lived according to divine knowledge, is uploaded. More simply, through faith, Jesus takes on what we are, and Jesus gives to us what he is. The end result? The forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of our sin, each and every one of our sins. Our adoption as sons and daughters of God. Our right standing before him. And so suddenly, the context, our life, for daily in Christ, we can then pursue true wisdom. And that is a wisdom in which our experience and our understanding and our insight, even our common sense, is informed by divine knowledge. The Ten Commandments, which for all intents and purposes are just a long description of love. That is ultimately what the Ten Commandments are, the very description of love, of what it means to love and how it is that we do love. It's through the Holy Spirit of Christ then that we pursue this specific life, a life of love, and so a life of wisdom. And that is a life in which we have the ability to think and act using divine knowledge. Using divine knowledge, experience and understanding, common sense and insight. You know, we all know what happens when we've abandoned in our lives the divine knowledge which is love, the divine knowledge which is the Ten Commandments. We all know that when we've done so, we've suffered. We know that. Let's be honest with ourselves. That being so, and knowing why this is so now, why would we not daily pursue what is truly wise? How many self-help books have we purchased and read, hoping to find such wisdom there? In reality, we knew it already. We had it already. It was right in front of us. We learned it in Sunday school. We heard it in sermons. We memorized it in confirmation class. Of course, the old man would flee this divine knowledge. Why? Because the divine knowledge of God, the divine knowledge of love, thwarts the old Adam repeatedly, as the old Adam would do only that which feels good or glorifies him or benefits him to the detriment of who we are in Christ. Let's not do that. Let's embrace the wisdom of God for what it is, that to which nothing else we may desire can compare. So our text, amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the